We have been talking about pride and humility the last 4 weeks, and go a little bit further on that, a little bit different direction, and talk about humility, you know, specifically. I mean, they're flipped, like I said, you know, pride and humility are kind of the same, different sides of the same coin. So, you know, they go hand in hand. You can't really talk about one without talking to the other, but specifically about humility. And that humility is a key to success in so many areas. And I just want to read some scripture concerning that. So many times, if we're not having success in an area, it's because we have pride in that area. You know, I'm going to get to this. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just to kind of give you an overview. There's things. Being humble is the way to victory. Now, a lot of things go hand in hand. If you're walking in humility, you're going to walk in love and so on and so forth. There's no just one absolute key, although God is love. And if we're walking in love, you can't walk in love without walking in humility, okay? So, I mean, you're not going to be full of pride but walking in love. That's impossible. So, essentially, if you wanted to sum up everything, I mean, if you walk in love, you've trumped everything. But we're talking about humility. And when we look at pride and humility, if we look at our lives, in any given part, and we'll see this, but if you look at part of your life, if you're in pride in an area, a lot of times you struggle in that area. And you can, it's not all or nothing. It's not completely full or completely empty. You can be in pride in some areas and humble in other areas in your life. And the areas that you're in pride in, you may struggle. The areas that you are humble in, that's probably where you're growing and things are progressing. So let's turn over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1 says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And just stop right there. Isn't that a question that, not with the kingdom of heaven tacked on, but who is the greatest? Isn't that what the world asks in so many areas all the time? Who's the greatest? You know, who's first in the East Division? You know, in Major League Baseball, or you know, who's the world champion, or who's the richest, or whatever? Who's the greatest? Sometimes the world is just so caught up with who's the best. That's what the disciples are asking here. Who's the greatest? Now they're saying in the kingdom of heaven. Who's the greatest? Who's number one? You know, do you realize that changes? We all know that. You don't stay champion of the world forever. You win it, you got to come back and win it again. And unless you're a real fan or a real, you know, a follower of a certain area or a certain sport or, you know, a certain pastime or whatever in life, you probably can't name the leaders or the greatest in any given area from 30 years ago or 20 years ago or even 5 years ago or last year. But at that point, for that minute, I mean, sports is a good example. For the minute or the period of time when those players take the trophy, they're the world champions. They're at the pinnacle. But then, and for a while, you know, everybody celebrates and everything, and you go on, you know, like we've had several celebrations the last several years for certain sports teams, but then the next season starts. You are the world champion at that point, but they're going to crown a new one before not too long. And it moves on. You know, the person that was the richest, you know, in the world isn't necessarily the richest the following year. And that changes over time. I mean, not to say that doesn't make a mark. People, you know, the greatest sports teams or greatest whatever, that makes a mark. But it passes on. And those people go and they die and they move on. And it just, you're not ever at the top forever. But that's what people are so concerned with a lot in this day and age. Who's the best? companies. Who's the great? You know, I'm going to climb the ladder. I'm going to be the best. But then things change. People move on. And if we give our lives and act a certain way to try to achieve these certain things that are temporal, they change. You think everybody's going to know me if I do this. I mean, this is the attitude. If I can gain this status. I'm not knocking anything. I'm not knocking anybody's any sports or anything that people have goals for attaining certain. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying if it's taken a certain way and that becomes everything, what have we really attained if we do even attain the highest honor in any given area? Because time goes on. And if it's only the temporal things on this earth, it passes away. So these people, the disciples are asking, who's the greatest? Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And so Jesus answered, said, then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself. He didn't call over the warrior. He didn't call over the people that were the wisest people listening to him, you know, or the richest person. He said, this little child, if you're humble like him or her, you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the way God's system works. Humility. Essentially, like we've talked about, to come to God initially, you have to humble yourself and say, you're God. I'm not. And you are God. You're my creator. And I yield to you. Right there, that takes humility. Because the way of the world is to say, I don't need anyone. I can do it. I'm a self-made man. I didn't depend on anybody. That's not the way God is. We're created to be dependent on Him. And that takes humility to say, I can't do it alone. I cannot do it. I was created. People don't want to do that. You know what? They say, no. I can do it. I will do it. If you have enough willpower, you can do it. It takes humility to say, no, I can't. I need Him. So, to come to God initially, said this little child. A child knows, most children, they know they can't do everything. Will you get that for me? They don't go and just go get, some children will do this. I mean, go get a ladder and climb up and get something. They're pretty content with coming to you and asking questions. Why is that? How is that? You know, they ask you question after question. They don't really think, well, I don't want mommy or daddy to know that I don't know all the answers. Well, you know, that's a foregone conclusion. We know you don't. Well, God knows we don't know all the answers either, but we want to say, I do. I know it. I know everything. I'm not going to tell anybody else, but I know the answer. You know, that's being proud. That's not being humble. And what did Jesus say? Remember, they asked him, who's the greatest? He said, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest. The one who has that type of an attitude. He didn't qualify it any other way. He said the humble. If you're humble, if you'll be like a little child in relation to me and just come, what do you want me to do? How should I do it? What would you like from my life? And how should I do that? God, show me. That's humility. That's putting aside the I can do it. Not that, you know, see, you can do all things through Christ. Not I can do all things through Jim, myself or whatever. No, I can do all things. See, once you get His plan, He tells you, yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do that. Okay, you've come to me and asked me, here, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. Then you take that blueprint and say, I can do that. Why? Because He said I can do it. And that's what He wants me to do. So I can do it. That's being humble. That's not being proud at that point. Well, you're just proud. You think you can do anything. That's because he said I could do it, and he told me to do it. So, hey, who am I to disagree with him? I can do it. That's humility. You know, you tell a little child, yeah, go do this, and you can do it. He'd argue with his friends if mommy or a lot of times if mommy or daddy told him. I mean, within my household, if I told one of my children they can do something, and then they come in and the other siblings say, what are you doing that? You can't do it. No, daddy said I could do it. You ever heard that as a parent? No, daddy said I could do it. They'll get an argument over it. No, I can do it. No, but you're not supposed to do it. The daddy said I could do it. I could do it. Get out of my way. See, that's not being proud now. You're saying, hey, in this case, daddy knows what he's talking about. In our case, God knows what he's talking about. Get out of my way. I will do it. I can do it. See, that's an attitude God wants us to have. But you see the difference. That's not the same as I'm going to do it and I'm going to make the plans and okay, I'm going to go do it. Or on the other hand, hey, I'm going to do these plans and hey, God, now help me to do these. Did God tell us to do that? So we can't do that. We can't make up the plan and then invite God in and say, okay, God, now you help me to do this. That's pride, too. I'm going to make up my plan and then invite the King of the universe to jump in on my plans? Yeah, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but there's a caveat there. It's what he has told us to do, either in his word explicitly or to our hearts for our lives. That's what he's going to help you do. Not anything that if I say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm going to go rob a bank. You think God's in that? You think the angels are going to follow me and help me do that? No. See, nobody would in this room would think that is rational, but in our own lives, we have to watch the line. Has God told me to do something? If I'm having trouble in a certain area, has God told me to do it? Is that what God wants me to do? Am I humble in that area? Has God told me to do something? Is he helping me? Am I being humble in an area, which means I'm like this little child coming and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, that's the way I should do it. All right, I'm going to do it this way. Or are we in pride trying to do it our own way? See, the way that when you are humble and going like this little child saying, hey, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, and that's how I'm going to do it, it will work. And the power of the living God will be there to help you do it. In the areas where we're saying, well, I'm going to do it myself. I don't really care. And we may not even, it's so subtle, we may not realize we're doing that. But really, we're doing it our own way and not God's way. And then we struggle and we wonder why. But God's my God. God, why am I having trouble? But I'm going to keep doing it my way. That's why. Because we're doing it the way we want to do it. And then we're trying to get God to help us do something that he didn't tell us to help us or something that he would not ordain. Something that he cannot get behind. And like I said, it's not like it's all or nothing. I mean, you got to know that, right? It's not like you either are completely humble in every area or completely proud. I mean, otherwise we'd all be, you know, way up here or way down here. That's not, we're all at different places. Maybe there's an area where we've really submitted that to God. And we're seeing fruit in that area. We're seeing it the way we want it, the way it's going the way we want it to go. But then there's other areas where we may not even see, and it's, we're in pride in that area. We're doing it ourselves. We're holding on to it. It's not working. See, God said the way to be the greatest is to be humble and basically do what he wants us to do in every area, and then it'll work. That's the way to be great. You don't have to turn over there because it's in Proverbs. I'm just going to read this to you. You can write it down. Proverbs 22:4. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By humility and fear of the Lord. We talked about fear of the Lord last week. You know, respecting him, reverencing him. But by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Riches and doesn't everybody want riches and honor in life? What does the Bible say? How do you get those? By humility and fear of the Lord. True riches, honor, and life are through humility. Again, if there's an area that we're struggling in, that we're not seeing riches and honor in life, check up on our humility. Are we humble in that area? Are we, have we gone to God, you know, and said, is this what you want me to be doing? Does this line up with your word? Is this the right way to do this? It can be very simple. It's not like we have to, you know, it just can be a checkup inside. God, is this what you want me to do? Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, again, you can read this and say, God resists the proud. The proud person is just the one that's so arrogant and the one that just doesn't have anything, isn't looking to God in any area. But that doesn't necessarily have to be true. In our life, God's going to resist parts, or just His system is going to resist places where we're not lining up with Him. But He gives grace to the humble. Things that we are being humble in, that's like it's going to grease the skids. That's going to enable things to happen. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves. And this is another point. Humble yourselves. There, you know, if you look at just, I don't have time to go into this, but look at, you know, the words like humble yourself, humbled yourself, humbled himself. Those things in the Bible, there's lots of verses like that. Therefore, humble yourselves before God. Over and over, it's humble yourself. Now, there are places that it does say something about God humbling people, but by and large, God, it's saying that we humble ourselves. It's something you do, that we do. We take the initiative and humble ourselves. We decide we're going to put ourselves under Him and be humble. Therefore, humble yourselves. See, again, just a little bit more on that. People think, you know, I touched on this kind of thing last week, but if trials or things bad happening in your life humbled you, then boy, there'd be, you know, certain individuals would be the humblest people on the face of the earth. But that doesn't happen. It's your reaction to them. And it's not like God is sending them, you know, like we talked about last week. But things happen. People say, well, that God just sent that to humble you. He says to humble yourself in a lot of areas. And things can happen. There are, you could take two people and certain things happen to one and similar things happen to other. One person's reaction, it completely, they decide they don't want to have, they think it's God's will or whatever. They think, I don't want to have anything to do with God. I'm going to run away from Him. Never. They just get hardened. Another person, something happens, it opens their eyes. It's not God doing it, but somehow they get their eyes open and they grow closer to God. What's the difference? Their reaction. So we humble ourselves. We decide, and you don't have to have something bad happen to you to humble yourself. God's best way is just for us to hear the word and change and say, I'm going to do that. Okay. You don't have to end up in a hospital bed and it would not be God's will. It's just that some people try to do it themselves so long and they're actually acting in pride. They're going away from God. Stuff doesn't go their way and finally they hit a cement wall. Something does happen in their life. God did not bring it in their life, but stuff happened. And now they have a lot of time to think and they decide to change. And then God bless them. They'll say that God sent that thing to get them to that point. God did not send anything bad to humble somebody. It was their reaction. God's best would have been for them to change when they heard the word, or to put themselves in a position to hear the word and just humble themselves then. God does not need to use bad things happening to make us humble. It says, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. What did we read earlier? How is the way to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? To be humble. Now, when I say great, I'm not saying that means your name's going to be in lights and you're going to be known worldwide. No, not necessarily. you're talking about within God's kingdom. Hey, if God thinks I'm doing a good job, I'm great. I don't care what other, that's success. If I am doing what the King of the universe told me I'm supposed to do, then I'm a success, regardless of what man would say. Anybody, I'm saying, a person. Because regardless of what, you know, men could exalt you and you not be doing anything that God told you to do. That happens all the time, right? How many people are exalted right now? And if anything, they are just, they're going against anything that has to do with God, but they're exalted. How many people that, you know, are actually uplifting causes against God, but they're exalted, have lots of followers. So that doesn't really have anything to do with being the greatest. So when I'm saying greatest, it doesn't mean, yeah, you're going to be humble and then you're going to look like this great person necessary in the world's eyes. No, but you're going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. So verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That's the way to be exalted. That's the way for promotion. That's the way for things to go well. That's the way for riches, honor, and life is through humility. Doing, just putting our own will down and going after him. That he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting our care upon him. We don't get it all. We don't understand everything. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. God, why would I have to do that? Cast your care upon him. Don't worry about it. Cast your care upon him and do what he said, because it'll work out. So many times our flesh does not want to do certain things. Well, you know, the humble way in a relationship, you know, if you're in an argument, is to just do what God said and make sure, as much as it depends on you, to walk in peace. But sometimes you don't want to do that. You want to say, no, forget it. I'm going to let those people stew for a while. I'm not going to humble myself, or I'm not going to say I'm sorry first. Well, it's not always easy, but you cast your care upon him. Humble yourself and do it, and you'll see fruit in whatever area it applies to, whatever area you're talking about. If we'll follow him, we'll see the fruit. Let's turn over to Philippians. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You understand what he's saying there. God Almighty became like a man. He was a man. 100% man, 100% God. He humbled himself. That alone is humbling himself. He's the King of the universe. He made men. But he became like one of them. And then he had those men spit on him, whip him, tell him, hit him, you know, tell him, hey, who hit you? If you're so powerful, tell me who hit you. You prophesy. You know, they mocked him. He's the King of the universe. Yet, that was the will of the Father. So he did it. He humbled himself. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the point of death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That every knee is going to bow. Jesus humbled himself. The King, the one that's over everybody, came as a servant. He humbled himself. He did what the will of the Father was. You remember, he was bleeding. He was sweating drops of blood in the garden because he did not want to go to the cross. And what did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. That was hard on him. And up to that point, I mean, he knew some of the things he was going to go through. These people were going to mock him, scourge him, the physical things that he was going to go through. And all for what? He was humbling himself. He's the king of the universe. But he's putting himself down and saying, this is your will, Father. I will do it. I will humble myself. And today he is the greatest. His name has been exalted above every name. That at his name, every knee will bow. Those people that mocked him and scourged him will bow. Everybody that has mocked the name of Jesus and said he doesn't exist and everything will bow. He will be exalted. And so he is our king and our pattern. When Jesus, they come to him and ask, how do you be the greatest? He said, you humble yourself. He's our pattern. Whenever you think it's hard, well, God, this is hard to do this. This is hard to humble yourself. I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know. He did it. He's a good example. He humbled himself. He did it for us. And so he is the pattern, and that's the way it works in the kingdom of God. So in any area, you can see that. He humbled himself. He's been exalted. We've seen. You'll humble yourself that God may exalt you in due time. That's the way it works. In any area, if we're having some trouble, we can check up on this. Am I humble? Am I doing what God said it to do? Am I doing it my own way, hoping that'll work? Or am I saying, God, this is the way you said it to do? I know that's the way. Okay, I'll yield myself to that. That's the way I'm going to do it. Check up. Because as we humble ourselves in an area, that's where the exaltation, that's where promotion comes from, that's where progress comes from, is when we're walking according to Him, doing it His way. Thank you, Lord.